Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Deborah, thank you very much for reading for us. I've called this series Come and See. Come and See, and today the God who you can know. I've called it Come and See because throughout the first four chapters of John's Gospel, that is a repeated phrase. It is what Philip tells to his brother. It is what the woman says, "Come and see the man who knows everything that I've ever done." And this morning we're going to come and we're going to see who this word, who the word is. Let's pray as we gather. Lord God, with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. And as we look at your word this morning, please, would you let your spirit shine into our hearts that we might see your glory in the face of Jesus, your Son. Amen. A few years ago, in Washington, D.C., a man sat in the metro station in the subway and he started to play the violin. It was a cold January morning. He played six Bach pieces for about 45 minutes. It was rush hour. Thousands of people walked past this busy train station. A few minutes went by and someone started to slow and listen for a moment and then hurried off. A minute after that, the violinist received his first tip, $1, thrown in by a woman who didn't bother to stop. The person who paid the most attention was a three-year-old toddler, who was quickly dragged off by his mum. In the 45 minutes that this man played, about 20 people gave him money. Only six people actually bothered to stop and listen. And he raised a total of $32. When he finished playing, silence took over. No one noticed. No one applauded. There was no recognition. Life just went on. No one knew this, but the violinist was called Joshua Bell. He's one of the best, one of the finest violinists in the world. He plays a Stradivarius worth $3.5 million That is the instrument that he was playing on the subway. 2 days before he played that show, he was playing in a sold-out theater in Boston where the average ticket was $100. Nobody noticed, nobody stopped to listen to one of the finest musicians. It's an extraordinary story. I wonder what you would have done if you were there. Would you have noticed? Maybe one or two of us. This morning, as we stand at the head of this new year, which marks 2023 years, give or take, since the Lord Jesus, since God, the one and only, came into the earth, it is easy to miss him amongst the decorations, isn't it? And amongst the presents and the excitement of Christmas. But Jesus came, an historical fact which changes everything for you and me. John 1, verse 18, that Deborah just read for us. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. It's quite a claim, isn't it? No one has ever seen God. That sort of goes without saying, doesn't it? But he has come and made himself known. For pretty much everyone in the entire world, that first Christmas was a day like any other. The day that God came into the world just passed everyone by. There was nothing special about it. There was no fanfare. There was no build-up. There were no advent calendars counting down the moments, the days to his coming. We've had a birthday in our week, this week, in our house, and the constant refrain, is it my birthday yet? When's it my birthday? There was no build-up to this birthday. It was just another day. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. This morning I want us to see that because Jesus came to earth, you and I can know God. And not just as some far-off, inactive or uncaring God, but you and I can know God as our Father. We can know God because, first of all, he has made himself known. At the start of his account of Jesus' life, the gospel writer John, who lived with Jesus for 3 years, he takes us all the way back to the very beginning, to that very first start, because that is where this story starts. I wonder how far back your memory goes. I wonder how far back our collective memory might go. My father was born in 1952. My grandfather, the eldest one, was born in 1914. You can trace my family tree back to the 17th century. Is that right? No, the 18th century, end of 1700s. To some shepherds in Sussex, in the south of England. John wants us to go much further back. We're taken right back to the very beginning. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're taking all the way back before the creation of the world, before the sun first rose, before birds started chirping, before the creation of the world was the Word, God the Son, Jesus. We say in the Creed sometimes that he was begotten, not made. He was always there. He was uncreated. What was God doing before he made the world? Well, God was there in a loving relationship. We see that, don't we, in 1 verse 1. We have the Word who was with God and yet was also God. For all eternity, there together, a loving God and the Father loving the Son, in the unity of the Spirit. It's an eternal, loving, satisfying, fulfilling relationship enjoyed by the Trinity. No one else was there. We can hypothesize, we can guess at the origins of the earth. We can use our minds that God gave us, which some would say take us back to the Big Bang. But this is going back even further. And we're only guessing, really. We can't know what's happened then. We can't really know what God is like, because only God knows what he is like. Only he can make himself known. And that means, as we start this new year, we've got to listen to what he says about himself. Verse 9, the eternal word is the one who is life. He is the true light, which enlightens everyone coming into the world. In the men's fellowship meeting on Friday night, we were thinking about God being self-sufficient. It's a big concept for a Sunday morning. But God being the one who is always there, who doesn't need anything else, he is the source of light and life and all goodness. The eternal word, the one who gives out of his fullness, which never runs dry. It's like the Niagara Falls, constant stream overflowing. He gives from himself. The light, which is the source of all our light, which brightens the light bulbs in your house, but also the sun in the sky. The true light coming into the world. My wife Gabby has an old violin. It's this beautiful spruce and maple wood. It's got a deep, rich colour. Neither of us can play it, but it's this beautiful instrument. You should say that. We gave that up when we were seven. And this violin has the name Stradivarius on the inside. Look a bit closer. Unfortunately, you'll see it also says made in Czechoslovakia. It is a great imitation, but it is just a replica. A replica with a great big crack in it. Jesus is not a replica. Here's the real deal. The Word, who was there all the way in the beginning, who predates the beginning, came into the world. The Word became flesh, the infinite took on a finite form. God became man. Jesus Christ was born. He came. So you and I can know God. Look down at verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God came to earth. He made his dwelling among us. It's the same word to describe what God did in the Old Testament when he came and lived amongst his people. It's that word tabernacle. He pitched his tent. He came and stayed amongst his people. Just in case we missed it, God's glory is there in creation. Moses got a glimpse of it when he asked. But when Jesus Christ came, God's glory could be seen in the flesh. His greatness and his majesty, his power and his might, his honor and brilliance and splendor and magnificence, his ultimate revelation of himself in the man Jesus Christ. Unlike most of the world's religions, it was a very public revelation. As we go through John's Gospel, we will see various different people interacting with Jesus, seeing him, touching him, talking to him, giving him things to drink. Muhammad claimed to have a special revelation in the wilderness. He was on his own. No one else saw that. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, claimed that only he could interpret this prophecy that he thought he was given. And then only with special glasses on, hiding behind a curtain. Jesus ate and walked and slept and taught in public. People saw the miracles that he did. People flocked to him. And do you know what they did to him? they rejected him. Because they saw what he did. Because they heard the words that he said. Many saw him die, many saw him rise. We can know God because Jesus came to earth to show us who God is. And we might look at the sunset and be filled with wonder. I saw a beautiful sunrise the other day. It was this really vivid pink as I was taking the dog for a walk. And maybe you've watched a thunderstorm and been struck with awe. Or maybe you tried to go away skiing over the break and looked at some mountains and marvelled at their height, at their splendour, at the lack of snow. The place where we see God's glory most clearly is in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, God the Son, came from God the Father to show us the Father. That verse from end of 18. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Doesn't that fly in the face of what our culture might want us to think? That many different religions, they might have their quirks. They might have their own emphases or different approaches, but at the heart, they're all the same. All roads lead to God. What a ridiculous, small-minded and unthinking thing to say when they say such conflicting things about who God is. Jesus Christ's claim is that no one can come to the Father except through me. I wonder if you've ever found yourself pitching to a client, or maybe at the Christmas dinner table, or with friends over the last few days. Maybe you're pitching a new business idea, or you're speaking to your in-laws, whoever it is, and you sit down at the table, and you've been thinking about what you want to say. You've done a bit of research. And when the time comes round at the dinner table, you say your piece, you sort of blurt it out, and you think, yes, got it memorised, I said it word for word. And then you breathe a sigh of relief. And then the dreaded thing happens as someone asks you a question. How dare they? They ask you a question, and despite your best efforts, it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly that you know nothing about what you're talking about. You quickly get found out to be a bit of a fraud. Jesus knows what he is talking about. He never had that. He knows God perfectly because he is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He is an expert witness. But he's much more than that. People go to all sorts of different places to find God. They go on gap years to meet God in a desert or on a mountaintop. I've heard all this very sad things with Prince Harry and Meghan with their brother. He said this week in his biography that he went to a woman with powers to try and understand his mother's death. I was up in the Fokkerberg around Halloween and saw that someone had made a Ouija board on top of the hill there. People go to all sorts of different things to try and search for answers, don't they? Only God can tell us who we are. Only God can tell us what he is really like. And when Jesus came, that is exactly what he did. No one has ever seen God, but God has made himself known. The one who is at the Father's side has made him known. Maybe you've had a bad experience with your father, and you struggle with the idea of God being a father. I know that there are many hurts and physical, emotional, unspoken and unseen things that fathers do. If that has been your story, God is nothing like your Father. Many of us won't have had such an extreme father. Some will have had disinterested fathers, maybe absent fathers. Others, some through choice, some through tragedy. Some of us will have had great dads. Whatever your experience of your father, Jesus shows us what sort of father God is. When we look at the face of Jesus, we learn who God is. I don't know if you've seen any of the documentary of the Royals. I'm not a massive fan. It's been very sad to see it all. Harry may have stopped being a royal, but he will never stop being the son of the King of England. In some ways, he will always represent his father to the world. There is a family resemblance. Maybe you can see traits in yourself that you've seen in your father. Good and bad. Jesus, the Son, is just like his father. When we see Jesus act, we see God act. When we see Jesus speak, when we hear him speak, we hear God speak. And we see what sort of a father he is. He is full of grace and truth. Grace to those who don't deserve it. Grace for the broken and forgiveness for the wicked and the rebellious. A father of love. You see, you can know God as your father. You can know God as your father. Verse 12, look down at that with me. To those who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Here is a father who doesn't shirk his responsibilities. When the going gets tough, he doesn't run away. When we sin, when we turn our backs on him, he doesn't turn his face away from us. I came across a survey recently which showed that by far the majority of people think people are good. In fact, it just said 4% of people didn't think people were bad. So 96% of people think that we are naturally good. You sort of wonder if they've ever spoken to anyone else, but just a casual glance at some of the headlines this week. Ongoing fighting in Ukraine. The 6-year-old boy shooting his teacher. Horrific violence in Sinaloa in Mexico. God doesn't pretend there's no problem. He entered into the mess of this world. And he came to make himself known so that we can know him as our Father. Maybe you felt you've not been a very good Christian. Here's a fresh start that is better than a new year. The Father sent his Son full of grace and truth. That grace that reaches into the pit to lift you and I up, that stoops to wash our feet. That opens its arms wide and lets them be nailed to beams of wood. Grace that cries, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. As they killed him. Grace that bears the full weight of the wrath of God at my sin and yours. Grace that breathes its last and hangs its head. Grace that goes to the tomb and yet isn't held by it. Goes down to the grave and rises again. Grace that gives light to those in darkness, that opens the eyes of the blind, gives strength to the weak, that makes the lame leap for joy. Grace that gives life. Not the sort of life that gyms try to sell to you and I at the start of a new year. Have you ever seen those sales? New year, new you. Time for the the belly to go, time to restart life. Now, this is life in all its fullness and all its abundance, eternal life, resurrection life. Grace that calls wicked rebels, living in a world that rejects its maker. Grace that calls those rebels children. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have been brought into a family by a bond of love that can never be broken. Not to do with being born into the right family. It was never a question of genetics. It's not a parent's decision. It is God's decision. It's not an accident. We watched Matilda the other day. I don't know if you've ever heard that story. A famous English author called Roald Dahl has been made into a musical. It's made it big in the States. This about this little girl who is born into a family whose mother and father just do not want her. They deny that she's a girl. They call her a boy the whole time. They mistreat her. They throw her in an attic cupboard. There are no unwanted children here. Did you see verse 13? Children who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. To those who received him, he gave the right to become children. That's the authority of a commanding officer. A status that can't be changed or taken away. There's no foster process. No trial period, no termination in the contract. We don't have to earn our father's affection. It is finished. The adoption papers have been signed. We are brought into his family by blood and a tie that can't be broken. If you are a Christian here this morning, if you believe in the name of Jesus, you are chosen by a father who wants you. Who has set his heart and affection upon you, who wants to bless you in his son with life, with peace, with joy and light and hope. A God who wants you to know him this year, more and more. That is what our God is like. We can know God as our Father. What a claim. Isn't that extraordinary? The one who made the stars. You can know as your father. One final challenge for us. How we respond to Jesus really matters. Those thousands of people who walked past that guy playing the violin missed out on one of the performances of a lifetime, something they probably would, most of them would never be able to afford to go and see. Something that would be inaccessible to many. But this is infinitely more serious, isn't it? Look down at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. He's the true light, which gives light to everyone, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Some of us won't receive Jesus. Maybe you find what he says too difficult or too offensive, or maybe you just think it doesn't matter. Someone in my family used to say that they didn't have the imagination to believe in God, which I always found quite tragic. If that's you, if you can relate to any of that, then thank you for coming this morning. We're so glad you're here. You're in the right place. Can I ask you to keep coming? Can I ask you to come along to Christianity Explored? It'd be great to have you there. They're great to come with your questions and with your, with your reasons for not believing. Do come, take one of these away with you. Wednesday the 18th of January. God hasn't hid himself. You can know him. Whenever you come down to packing your Christmas decorations, we missed the wise men on Friday night, so our tree is still up. Don't put Jesus in a box until next year. Please keep looking at what John has to tell us about Jesus, because he saw him. He was there. He lived with him for 3 years. This is historical evidence. And we've got copies of John's Gospel at the back of church. Why not take one of those away and read through it? Because the claim here is that you can have life that never ends. You can have peace. You can have eternal joy and satisfaction. The claim is you can know the God who made you and who cares more for you than anyone else in this world ever could do. It's great to celebrate Samuel and Ephah's wedding. Great to celebrate that human love. How much deeper is the love of the God who made you? You can know him. The claim is that he came to give light and life, not just in the here and now, but for all eternity. Because where is he today? Did you see right at the end of verse 18? Easy to miss it. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side. Not who was at the Father's side, who is at the Father's side today. He has made him known. You won't find him in a tomb. He was Lord from all eternity. He was Lord in 2022. He will be Lord in 2023. And he will be Lord for as long as you can imagine. Jesus came and he showed himself to be the risen Lord of this creation and the next. And as we go through John's Gospel, we're going to see him turn water into wine at a wedding. Into the best wine at a wedding. There's so much of it. This is the sort of party that you want to go to. He gives sight to the blind. He calls a dead man out of a grave. And we see Jesus rise from the dead himself. I wonder what your hopes for this year, what you think this year will bring. What your goals and your ambitions are this year. As we start this year, if you want to know where you come from and want to know where you are going, not just what this year might bring for you, but much bigger than that, where this world is heading, then stop and listen to Jesus. The Lord God who holds this creation and the next in his hands. The God who has made himself known and who invites us to call him Father. Let's pray. Lord God, it is an astonishing thing that you would take the time to show yourself to us. We are so small and insignificant. We feel that at times. And you are so big and so great. And yet we thank you that you sent your Son into the world that we can know you. We thank you that you choose us, that you want us to know you, that there is no accident. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of being able to call you our Father. And we ask, Lord, that that would thrill us as we go into this new year, that we'd long to know you more. We'd long to know just how safe we are in your hands. Father, for those of us who aren't sure about any of this, we ask that you'd keep us questioning. Help us to go away and think about these things. And we ask that you'd help each one of us this year, for this year to be a year in which we truly know you. In all your glory, in all your splendor, in your majesty, in your might, in your purity, in your holiness, in your goodness, in your kindness, in your faithfulness to us. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.